And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, what's going on, Joe? How we doing?
The T's still not working on my computer, so not great.
This is going to be an ongoing saga.
I mean, it's going to happen.
Maybe over the weekend?
Well, I don't know. I mean, this can't go on, man. I can't go on like this. Other than that, doing great. Having a great day.
Is this the most challenging time of your sports writing career from just a simple, fundamental execution standpoint on a typing device? Did you ever use a typewriter? Are you that old?
No, I'm not that old.
Wow.
Look, I'm just asking a question.
Well, so in high school, I took a typing class on typewriters,
which
was actually one of the best classes I've ever taken. I don't know if you guys – can you guys type?
Yeah, you can type. On a typewriter?
No, but I mean, you have typing skills.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like –
I used to challenge myself to see how many words per minute we could get up to.
There
were some programs, some software we used. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, in our class, we had some serious races on that. And I, you know, every once in a while you'll come across someone and, you know, in sports writing who's hunting and pecking, and it's like, man, this is no way to live.
Just mashing.
But I did have some pretty, like, you talk going back to, like, you know, like Tandy, you know, like in the cups and stuff to try to send stuff. You know, obviously, I mean, you got to find a phone line and all that stuff to dial up. Even that is, gosh, it's a long time ago now. I don't know, man. I've never – it's just weird. How does my T still not work?
It's a great question.
It's a pretty new laptop. The Athletic sent this to me like a year and a half ago, not even that long ago.
Brand Self-sabotage. I'm just happy you're still with me today here on the show after you were a celebrity yesterday and just went on Feinbaum. Way to go.
Right. Feinbaum,
Joe and Paul, baby.
Paul!
Hey, apparently,
Paul. apparently, and I didn't hear it, but people tweeted at me that he, like, early in the show, and I've gone on with him a couple times before, but early in the show, he called me Joe Rex Rod.
Oh, so, yes. Come on.
Which, again.
And later in the show, we'll have Joe Rex Rod from The Athletic.
That's not a very good fine bomb. That's
it
okay.
Wasn't.
So you're like, Joe Rex Rod? No, that's not very good either.
I was about to say, we just totally, both of us just totally. Destroyed Paul Feinbaum there. It was great.
Yeah. But so, that's first day of school stuff for me. I'm used to it, you know. You read through the last name, and you don't read all the way to the E at the end, and you don't.
Yeah, I don't
realize
how
it's
this
a
happens.
Long O. I don't know. It happened. Like, I bet you every single first day of school for me it happened.
So, did he say your name correctly when you were actually on?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So he rebounded. That's good.
Well, there were people tweeting at him. So, I mean, probably like at – so really like what? At his producer, right?
Yeah.
So the word got there. So, yeah, we talked a little bit of Heupel. We talked a little bit of Danny White. I think Paul Feinbaum's not a huge fan of Danny White. I get that sense, and I didn't even
– I've gotten the sense lately he's not a huge fan of anything that comes out of the Tennessee Athletic Department.
Yeah. But, you know, he was talking a little bit about the whole thing with UCF and the national, and it's like, oh, okay, so you got in. So clearly Feinbaum got into it with him back then, too. And so while everyone was celebrating the Danny White hire a week ago, Feinbaum may have been kind of like, I don't know. But, hey, anybody who can tweak Alabama, right?
Hey, you're absolutely right. And Rex Road with us again today after becoming yet more of a celebrity yesterday on Feinbaum. So congratulations.
Thanks. Didn't help me get my tea working on my laptop.
Well, so we'll see if we can get that worked out for you.
I should have asked Feinbaum if, you know, he could have hooked me up.
You know, Joe, it's been a good week for us on the news front of things. Like, usually things happen, like, right after we get off the air. Been a pretty good run this week. You know, obviously Josh Heupel hired by Tennessee, and now looks like we've got some news on the offensive coordinator front for the Tennessee Titans this coming from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. The Titans are expected to promote tight ends coach Todd Downing to offensive coordinator, source said. The last time they made an internal promotion of a tight ends coach, it was Arthur Smith. The hope is this works out just as well. So we've wondered, maybe does Vrabel look outside the box? Pep Hamilton is a guy we've discussed. Comes out yesterday, looks like he's going to become the quarterback's coach with the Houston Texans, and Who knows what his quarterback is going to be or who it's going to be when he takes that job. But it looks like the Titans are going to go internally and promote Todd Downing to offensive coordinator. Joe, what's your immediate reaction to that?
I think that was my prediction, right? Was that my prediction?
I think so.
Any of us call that as a shot? Was that a called shot? Anybody?
I don't know if it was called shot, but I do think you predicted it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the tight ends coach, I mean, it makes sense on a couple fronts. One, the tight ends coach is definitely the coach who is very, I mean, his unit is very, very much in both aspects of an offense. So tight ends coaches are, I mean, they make sense for those promotions. And obviously Todd Downing has been an OC. Now, I'm looking at Rappaport's tweet here and immediately the same Todd Downing who destroyed the Raiders offense. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, obviously it was a bad year, 2017. There was major hype for the Raiders for Derek Carr. It went poorly. I think he was, of course, he was coming off just like Mariota, right? He was coming off the broken leg. But, you know, it was a one-year thing, and then he was out. So how much of that was his fault? I don't know. But that'll be part of this, too, the reaction to this. And it just, I look at it and it just seems to me like the Titans went out and, you know, did some interviews, but probably weren't going to do this. I don't know that for sure, but, you know, Pep Hamilton was out there and now he's going to go try to work with whatever quarterback the Texans have to settle for once they move to Deshaun Watson.
Pep Hamilton and A.J. McCarron out there making some magic.
Hey, he's good at developing quarterbacks, you know.
That's right.
He's going to have some work to do with somebody.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out. We've got a lot to get to on that front later in the show regarding Deshaun Watson and the news coming out yesterday that he's demanded a trade. So we'll get into that hot and heavy on today's show as well. Joe, I'm not overly surprised this is the route that they've gone, especially on this side of the ball. Like, when things have gone so well offensively in the system that you've been running, I think continuity makes sense. Now, maybe too much continuity going on with Vrabel. I wonder how this affects the defensive side of things and their mindset there, and we'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit. But I'm not overly surprised Todd Downing ends up being the guy, just based on the fact that you've got a system that obviously works. I mean, Tannehill and Henry, A.J. Brown, the pieces you have on offense, you want to keep that going. You want to keep the terminology close to the same. You don't want to go in and change up your entire offense, obviously. So I think especially given the success that Arthur Smith had, I'm not surprised that it went this way. Now, you've got some gigantic shoes to fill if you're Todd Downing coming in and taking over this role, but the fact that they've done this on this side of the ball does not surprise me.
Yeah, and I mean, look, 2 years ago, there was definitely some, really? Tight ends coach going to be your OC now? Obviously it worked out well. It's hard to argue against running this back. It's hard to argue against what you just said. Going with the same basic people, the same concepts and terminology and all these things, and trying to build on it. So it's very different from the other side of the ball, where if it ends up that Vrabel's just sticking with, you know, his, I guess, maybe giving Shane Bowen the DC title, I think people are going to be upset about that. And I totally understand people being upset by that. To me, that side could use something different, but the offensive side just needs to keep it going.
Yeah, and well, that's going to be the challenge. And obviously, you know, the personnel, what does it look like? How similar is it next year? What are the differences? Do you have Corey Davis? Is Jonnu Smith a part of things? You know, getting your offensive line back to a place where it's healthy with Taylor Lewan coming back. Hopefully that's the case all year. Lots of factors go into it for Todd Downing, but it's going to be fascinating to see how he handles the play calling part of this, as you mentioned, with the Raiders. And I'm just going through the replies right now of Rappaport's tweet. I mean, it's all the Raiders fans in here just jumping on this hire. And then you know,
isn't it early for them? Like, what time is it
for
Raiders
fans?
They got up at 4 a.m. to scream about Todd Downing as OC with the Titans.
Maybe they haven't gone to sleep yet.
Although Raiders fans live everywhere. They are everywhere. Maybe is this some, like, Fitz burner accounts up here?
Could be.
I'd like to know what Fitz thinks of Todd Downing, someone who closely watched his work in that year as OC.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. I mean, you know, the NFL is interesting because you've got guys that you go a place, and if it doesn't work out the way that you want it to, sometimes that could be like the kill shot for your career. Like, you're never getting back to that point. Obviously, Todd Downing, another chance now. What does he do with it? If I'm him, like, obviously the game day feel Arthur Smith had, I'm not sure you're going to be able to match that. I mean, I thought Arthur Smith largely was just outstanding in that area. But in terms of, like, the style and the scheme and the general plan that you have, that obviously Todd Downing was a part of these meetings with Arthur Smith, I'm not changing a whole lot. I mean, I understand the feel is going to be slightly different, and that's going to take some adjusting, I think, from Tannehill and Henry to get used to the way Todd Downing does things. But if I'm him, scheme-wise, I don't know if I'm changing anything with this group.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, like you said, though, we have to see what happens with personnel, because if you don't have a guy, if you don't have Davis especially, and you have a different kind of skill set on that side, you know, you're going to change some things. Obviously, if you're Todd Downing, I think you hope that you have a deep threat that's added to the mix. You have a little bit of speed added to this offense, so that could change things. But yeah, I mean, look, they're going to be outside zone, inside zone, and they're going to run play action off it and make things look the same and have a lot of motion. And then it's on him to have good plans, and on them, it's a collective, but on him to have the play calling knack on game day. The difference between him and Smith is everybody was like, why are you promoting your tight ends coach? But we didn't know. With Todd Downing, there's a negative, you know, example of him as OC. That's, frankly, you know, it's just part of the deal. So he does get another shot here, and like you said, some people don't.
So the Titans going internally on the offensive side of the ball. Ian Rappaport reporting, tight ends coach Todd Downing expected to be promoted to the offensive coordinator position for the Titans. Could they take a similar route on the defensive side of the ball and keep things internal that way as well? We'll discuss that when we come back. But first, I've got a word from FanDuel, and you could celebrate the 55th edition of the big game with exclusive 55-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you've never tried FanDuel before, new users can bet on either team and get 55-1 odds when Kansas City takes on Tampa Bay. That's right. You can bet $5 and win $275 if you pick the winner of the big game coming up on February the 7th. I've been betting on football on FanDuel all season long. It's been so easy to use. They've got a range of betting options like player props, futures. Find whatever bet you're looking for. FanDuel Sportsbook has it, even live betting. I mean, games taking place, you can bet live while the action is going on. The first quarter, the second quarter, doesn't matter. They've got live betting options for you as well. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus of $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to some breaking news. According to Ian Rappaport, the Titans expected to promote tight ends coach Todd Downing to be the next offensive coordinator for their offense here in Tennessee. So not a huge surprise. They've gone the internal route. We thought that could be an option. Joe Rexrode actually predicted this to happen a few weeks back. So good on you, Joe. You look smart once again.
Every once in a while, this will happen. I don't...
Blind smart squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while, right?
That's right. There's a T in smart, right? Every word that has T in it.
Which, by the way, is amazing. They've just made this hire. The tight ends coach starts with a T. Todd Downing, a T. The Tennessee Titans. Lots of great love for you this morning with your predicament.
So, like, I'm writing something on The Athletic right now about this real quick. And, you know, you have to tag your teams. So, you have to... Like, you have to type in the T to get to the ENN to get to the Tennessee Titans. And so I had to go open a file, copy a T, and then paste it in to do this. Also, during the first segment, I did get confirmation from a source that Todd Downing is going to be the OC, for the record. So appreciate that source responding to me after 6 a.m. How annoying to have someone texting you at 6 a.m. But then again, Raiders fans at 3 a.m. are screaming about Todd Downing on Twitter.
Everyone's awake. When Todd Downing gets hired, Joe Rexrode, you wake up. That's what happens. You wake up and you get excited about this. So the Titans have found their man at the offensive coordinator spot. And we had Adam Kaplan on from SiriusXM a few weeks back talking about the offensive coordinator opening for the Titans, and Todd Downing's name was brought up at the time. Here's what Adam Kaplan had to say.
You would want to keep it going. See, the thing is, the key, well, if Arthur does get a head coaching job, their identity will never change, and you want to keep continuity going. So obviously Downing, from a club standpoint, would be the smartest guy because, as I understand, he's heavily involved in the red zone offense, which is one of the best in the National Football League. I've talked to people who work with Downing over the years. They think he's pretty sharp, so I think they'd be pretty good hands there.
So that was Adam Kaplan from SiriusXM talking about Todd Downing, and that's the route the Titans have gone. You heard Kaplan mentioned very heavily involved in the red zone offense, which, as we know, the past 2 years since Ryan Tannehill has taken over, has been very good. So that's obviously a very positive sign if you're the Titans. So what do you think about this in terms of his chances to keep this thing going, especially in the red zone where they've been so good? I mean, that's been such a huge part of this offense the last couple of years, is once you get down in the red zone, the ability to convert, not just with field goals, but especially the touchdown rate that they've got in the red zone, it's been pretty incredible to watch.
Yeah, listen, I'd like to respond to you, Robbie, but now I'm trying to type in Todd, and so now I need to paste a capital T in there.
You're not just going to roll with Odd Downing?
Odd. An odd hire. That's good. What an odd hire. God, this is just going
to... Or that'll be in his next article, The Athletic.
Yeah.
This going from UCFK to Odd Downing.
He's going to take down the entire show.
And he's going to take 100%
credit for it. Oh, man.
Yeah.
You remember my question I asked you?
Yeah. No, the interesting... I mean, you know, the red zone involvement is good. I mean, that's yeah, I'm already seeing reaction from people here now, Titans fans. You know, Brandon Christman, these numbers from Oakland are bad with like eight A's in it, and yeah, they are. I really am interested in finding out exactly what happened that year. I mean, I don't remember everything. The year before, they were a very good team.
Yeah,
and he was what that year?
That I don't know.
All right.
But I know Derek Carr was like in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Year. And no. That's why everybody was so excited the next year coming back. Now, as you said, I mean, him and Marcus on the same day had their injuries.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same injury that they had to deal with. And quite frankly, neither one has really been the same since that day. But
yeah, so I mean, you know, so for Downing, I mean, again, it's just like with most hires, most coaches like Josh Heupel, I mean, you can go spin it either way if you want. If you look at what he was, I mean, he was the QB coach for Carr in those years where he got really good in 15 and 16. So, he, you know, before that, I mean, he's been a QB coach a lot in this league. It's interesting. He was a D guy early in his career. But, you know, so he gets the natural promotion in 17 to OC, and obviously it goes really poorly. How much of that was, you know, Carr not being totally himself in 17, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's a natural question to ask because, I mean, really, Carr has not been 2016 Derek Carr again,
no.
Right? I mean, he was pretty good this last year.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, I mean, that looks more like an outlier for Derek Carr than 17 looks like an outlier now, you know? So how much of that bad offensive year was on Downing? I don't know. But, you know, you can look at it either way. He certainly has done a lot in this league around QBs, tight ends, and at least he's had that year. Was he a terrible play caller? I mean, I didn't watch the Raiders closely enough, you know, to have any idea about that.
As we know, I mean, the quarterback, pretty important in terms of determining how successful you are as an offensive coordinator. Like, think about Arthur Smith and the first six games he had here with the Titans. That offense was terrible.
He was not on the fast track to being
a
head coach.
It was so bad. And then one position switches. You've got Tannehill coming in instead of Mariota, and all of a sudden everything changes around. Now, you know, Lawan coming back and being a part of the line, I realize there are different factors that are involved with it. But most of it was the quarterback and the change there. So we know how important the position is league-wide. It's important to the offensive coordinator position as well. If you're in good shape at the quarterback position, that can cover up a lot of things for bad play calling. I mean, we've seen that.
Yeah, no question. I mean, look, he's coming into – yeah, I mean, here, you know, if you are Todd Downing, you got to be obviously excited, grateful for the opportunity. It is also – this is one of those Don't follow like the person who was great at the job. You know, there's, I mean, he's going to be compared very harshly to Arthur Smith if anything goes wrong. You know, I mean, it's in that way, it's a tough spot. Of course, you take the opportunity and you love the tools you have to work with, but we all saw what Arthur Smith did, and it is, it's just play calling is just one of those things. I mean, Mike Vrabel obviously liked Arthur Smith a lot, had faith in him. Arthur Smith pushed for the job, got it. Mike Vrabel had no idea he was going to be that good of a play caller. You can't know until you see it. And so I'd love to know how much in this process of figuring out who's going to be the next OC, how much did Vrabel look back at that 2017 season? I'm sure he would openly tell us all about it.
Yeah, I'm sure he would.
And all his thoughts on that. But seriously, I mean, I would bet you that was part of this evaluation. How would it not be?
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not surprised that they went internally for the offensive coordinator candidate. The question now is, on the other side of the ball, defensively, what are they going to do if you're the Titans? Obviously, we've talked about it a lot. It was awful defensively this past year. Shane Bowen was the de facto defensive coordinator without the title. Do you go back to that route? Do you name him the defensive coordinator officially with the title? Because I'll be honest, like the longer this has gone on and the further removed we are from the Baltimore game, the more likely I think it is that they're just sticking around with an internal guy and they're moving on to maybe having Shane Bowen come back and do this next year.
Yeah. Very different reaction and very, to me, justified different reaction if that's the case. And I think what it would confirm is that, well, really, I mean, I think what it would confirm is that Vrabel, kind of what he said several times this year, he didn't think the coaching was the problem this year. And again, it's always the problem if things don't go well. But clearly, if he goes with Bowen, to me, that's him saying, what were we supposed to do with our situation at outside linebacker, up front, Adoree's injury, whatever. Hey, it's his team, but the reaction will be very negative to it, and I can't blame the reaction being very negative to it. And it puts a lot – to me, it's like if you brought in someone with new ideas, I just think that's always a good thing to do in this league, a good thing to do on a regular basis. Bring in outside people who you haven't worked with. Bring in new viewpoints. I'm not saying necessarily change the whole scheme. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, to completely change your defense, but to elevate Bowen now will not be greeted well.
But doesn't it kind of feel like that's at this point what they're doing? I mean, it's been almost 3 weeks since they were put out of the playoffs. You would think if they were hiring someone else, and maybe not. I mean, people operate under different timelines, but I would think if they were going outside the box and hiring somebody else, that hire probably would have been made at this point.
Well, and there hasn't been any discussion about interviewing anyone recently. So it's not like, I mean, with the OC thing, there were several names, you know, that were reported, and I've seen Terrell Austin as the DC, which of course would also satisfy interviewing a minority, by the way, when then you can just hire internally. So, I mean, maybe there's been other stuff that just hasn't been reported, but, yeah, it absolutely looks that way. Now, will he actually get the title? Or will
that's
they just,
a great question.
I mean, who knows? Maybe he won't get the title.
What if they come back and do the same thing that they did this past year and Shane Bowen is the defensive coordinator without really technically being the defensive coordinator? Like, you can't do that if you're Vrabel, right?
If you're Shane Bowen, do you want the title right now or do you not want the title right now?
Man. Probably not.
Because obviously everybody talked about him all year, and he was the one doing those weekly pressers with everybody.
Right.
But there was still a level of, you know, there was still a sort of level of, I don't know about mystery, but, you know, that not everyone wasn't totally sure how it all was working. If you give him the title now, okay, then there's the guy to fire if it goes poorly again. That's the guy. I mean, I've heard some people say now, like, well, fire Shane Bowen. Like, what? Well, I thought he coached the outside linebackers okay. He didn't have any. I don't know. I mean, that's his job as outside linebackers coach. If he gets the DC title, now there you go. It's on you. And maybe that's what Vrabel was doing by not giving it to him. But I think that there's if there's not value in giving people these titles, then don't do it.
But don't ever. Like if he doesn't give him the title, don't we know it's his defense right now anyway? Like he was calling the plays last year.
Yeah, just like the Titans trying to save money, not paying him.
Yeah, like, what's going on? Right. Like if the defense sucks again next year, and we know that Shane Bowen is the one calling the plays, Titans fans are going to want him fired. Doesn't matter if he's got the title or not. So I don't understand right. why you wouldn't give it to him. At that point,
I think he will. If that, I think he probably will. Yeah, because as much as Vrabel's like, oh gosh, you guys making a big deal out of title. I mean, come on. I mean, almost every single person in this league who calls plays offensively or defensively has the title defensive and offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
it helped Mike Vrabel get the head coaching job here because he was defensive coordinator with the Texans. Didn't go well that year, but you know that's part of the process. You know, Arthur Smith gets this opportunity because he was offensive coordinator for the Titans. I'm sure he will name one. And, yeah, it looks like it's probably going to be that, unless it's someone else on the staff that he switches to. But, I mean, if there's no movement out there at all, nothing on anyone being interviewed, then why would they be waiting all this time? And then all of a sudden they're going to bring in someone? Doesn't look that way.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And, look. I mean, this has been Vrabel's style. He likes to keep things internal. He likes to promote from within. If that's the route they go, and it's Shane Bowen, how big a mistake is this for the Titans and Mike Vrabel?
Well, listen, it will be very criticized. Do I know it's a mistake? No. Do I think it's the most important thing? No. The most important thing is that you don't have terrible personnel decisions with guys who can't rush the passer and pay them $25 million and that you have good players in the field.
So you're a big advocate of bringing Brooks Reed back. It's good to get to.
I mean, he's on the all-hair team. The most important thing, why to me, far more important than any of this, is have good players on defense. Is it a mistake for Vrabel to do this? Well, people are not going to be happy about it. Do I know for sure it won't work out? No. Do they have good players next year? Do they have someone who can rush the passer? Do they have somebody who can help Jeffrey Simmons up front? Are they healthy in the back end? That could be a lot better. But I think it would have been a better move to really try to find someone with fresh ideas.
And one thing that could help the Titans defensively in the division is not having to go up against Deshaun Watson. And it's looking like that's going to be the case for the Titans next year when the Houston Texans come to town. When we come back, we'll react to that. There's some trade proposals out there that ESPN has put out for Deshaun Watson in the Houston Texans. What makes the most sense? Where do we think Deshaun Watson could end up next year? That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Deshaun Watson has officially requested a trade. The organizational disaster that is, I mean, it's criminal. I don't even know what else to say. You dream about getting a guy like that. There are two kinds of teams in football. The ones who have a quarterback like Deshaun Watson and the ones who would do anything to get one.
That was Mike Greenberg from ESPN talking about the situation brewing in Houston with Deshaun Watson and the Texans. And yesterday, Joe, Adam Schefter putting out there that Deshaun Watson has requested a trade. As a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, requested a trade officially from the Houston Texans. And the Texans hired their head coach, David Culley. And apparently that's made no difference whatsoever for Deshaun Watson and his feelings toward the organization. That bridge seems to be burned, and it looks like he will not be a member of the Texans next year, which obviously is very good news for the Titans if you can get him outside of the division. But now the question is, where's Deshaun Watson going to go? What team will he end up on if the Texans are able to execute a trade? And that is our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Which team will Deshaun Watson get traded to this offseason? And the options are the Jets, the Dolphins, the 49ers, or other that can be listed below on the poll question. 51 votes so far, 49% going with the Jets, 18% with the Niners, 16% with the Dolphins, and 17% say other. Some suggestions on the other part of it are the Dallas Cowboys may be involved in Deshaun Watson's services. So that would be interesting to see what they would do with Dak Prescott at that time. But the Cowboys on the list of other that people have put out there, but 49% going with the Jets. So the people early on in the voting process, Joe, feel like the New York Jets may be the landing spot for Deshaun Watson.
We're all just guessing. Well, the Cowboys one, that's one I hadn't heard of. I suppose Jerry Jones could get in on anything, right? I will agree with my my coworker at The Athletic, Lindsey Jones, who tweeted the other day, like, if you're a GM, call the Texans other than Kansas City. Now, I think there's a few other teams on the list that won't, including probably, I mean, I don't think, like, are the Titans going to even bother?
Like, would you waste your time if you're John Robinson? Like, hey, this is John. Click.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for one, being in the division, two, just, you know, it's, I mean, there are teams out there who can completely change their trajectory and have things that they can deal to the Texans. I mean, this is going to be incredible to see how this all turns out and see what the market is. I mean, this could be as bad as this is for the Texans. It is terrible.
Awful.
I mean, they could get quite a haul here. There's no doubt about that.
What about Jacksonville?
Call it, make the call?
Just so you're saying Jacksonville trade the one and say you guys get Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can take Trevor and we'll take Deshaun.
What if Urban Meyer goes into his GM's office and says, I want Deshaun Watson and not Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, honestly, a team having the number one pick right now, I think that's an interesting thing. But again, it's in the division. I don't know. I mean, I guess, look, if you're the Texans.
But that would be the best case scenario if you're the Texans, right? You get Trevor Lawrence out of it?
Well, except that we don't know what Trevor Lawrence is as an NFL quarterback. We think we know what he's going to be. I think he's going to be really good, but I mean.
But you don't know what three first-round picks are going to be.
But you do know what, like, Matt Stafford is. What about something like that? What about a place that has a guy you know is good?
Doesn't feel like they're about to. I mean, just Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, pretty big rebuild though. The Texans, like, if you're trading Deshaun Watson, I would expect J.J. Watt's not going to be here. That roster defensively is awful.
How long are NFL rebuilds?
It depends on the organization, I think.
Yeah,
and this organization doesn't look very competent at the moment. So,
well, sure, but you can't plan like it's going to take us 5 years. I mean, Matthew Stafford's 32.
Sure,
I mean, you can get a good quarterback, and you can be, again. The Titans were how bad in the NFL before John Robinson got? Were they about the worst team in the NFL?
One of them, yes.
For over 2 years,
yeah,
5-27, and they've been good. Straight up, boom, the next year they're good, and they've been good since. I mean, I just don't think in the NFL you think about it in terms of like college, where it's like, okay, get our guys in recruiting classes, and in year four we'll be competing. I mean, you have to think in terms of it's going to take us 2 years with this, and we're going to be right back. I mean, last year they won the division. They won 4 out of 5 divisions before this awful implosion. So, I don't know. It's going to be fascinating, but I hadn't even thought about that. I don't hate it. I get it. Like, it would be really intriguing, but you either have to do something like that, or you have to have a guy who can play the position at least pretty well coming back to you.
Well, and it's interesting because Bill Barnwell from ESPN has kind of laid out scenarios and different categories for teams that could be interested in Deshaun Watson and what they could offer. And this coming out on ESPN. And he's got two teams that absolutely wouldn't be interested on his list. And that is obviously Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes and then Seattle with Russell Wilson at the quarterback position. He also has teams within the division that he discounts because he doesn't think the Texans will do that. Teams with cap constraints, a team that doesn't have enough draft capital, that's the Rams. Teams in which Watson could use his no-trade clause, and the Lions are on that list, as you would imagine. It's the Bengals alongside on that list, but they've got Joe Burrow, so I don't know how interested they would be. But it's interesting, you get to the 17 teams that Barnwell thinks could make a trade for Watson. And by the way, the Green Bay Packers are on this list at 17. I would be very shocked if that was even a possibility for the Green Bay Packers at this point. But you get down towards the favorites on this list, and the poll question that we've got today on Twitter talks about the Jets. Barnwell's got the Jets listed at number 7 on this list. The Jets would send second and the second overall pick, the 23rd overall picks in 2021, and a first round pick in 2022 in this proposal by Barnwell. And the Texans would just send back Deshaun Watson. So the Jets in 7th on this list, the Patriots at 5, the Broncos at 4, the Niners at 3, and the Panthers at 2, the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, there's a lot of reporting around them being all in on trying to figure this out, which I don't. I mean, it makes sense. But what are they sending back?
According to Barnwell, it would be the 8th and 39th overall picks in the 2021 and 2022 or 2021 draft, a first-round pick in 2022, a first-round pick in 2023, and Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback.
Well, if the Texans are looking at it like you just said, where it's like, hey, it's just we're blowing it up, I guess. But they're absolutely signing up to be doo-doo for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is what it comes down to. Like, if you're the Texans, you can look around and say, again, like Matthew Stafford. We've talked about Stafford to the Colts. If I'm the Texans, I can say, we get some picks in here, and we get that guy who's got several good years left, we could be right back competing in this division next year, you know?
Yeah.
We have a great draft, great free agency. We can be back. I don't know if you think the same way about Jimmy Garoppolo, but there's another guy who at least coming back, you feel like, okay, you could have a decent quarterback situation. If you're going straight up with like a Bridgewater and picks, then you are more signing up for the little bit longer term build. But again, in this league, it's nothing's long. The windows or the rebuilds.
And then the number one team on Barnwell's list is the Miami Dolphins, which reportedly Deshaun Watson has some interest in going to play in Miami. And it would be interesting to see, you know, how they feel about Tua at this point. I mean, you've got a very short sample size of Tua. I mean, watching that guy play in college, I mean, he looks like he could be really good at the NFL level. But again, you're dealing with a known commodity in Deshaun Watson. You know what he is. That's got to be a really attractive option, regardless of who the team is that you're talking about in these trade discussions. So I get it. I mean, you don't want to give up on these young quarterbacks, and I think that the teams around the league are doing that way too soon. But in this case, I mean, you're talking about if this trade happens, is this going to be the biggest trade in the history of the NFL? Like a quarterback of this caliber, 25 years old at this point in his career, has had enough of his franchise, he wants out. This has got to be up there, right, in terms of the biggest trades in NFL history if it happens this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL is not, you know, you look at other leagues. I mean, any league you can think of, like the Gretzky trade, you know, Edmonton and the Kings. I mean, baseball has so many. Basketball has so many. The NFL doesn't it's not a trade league, right, like these other ones. I mean, what would be – the first thing that comes to mind for me is the Herschel Walker deal that totally built a Dallas dynasty. And that was a great running back in his prime. But the Vikings just, what a brutal trade. But that's not going to be what this is, right? This is a different deal for the NFL. This is new territory. Kind of fun.
It is fun. And it just kind of shows you how bad the Texans have screwed this up. There is a team on Barnwell's list that's very interesting to me, and that is the Las Vegas Raiders. And just listen to this package that Barnwell has put together here. The Raiders would send the 17th overall pick in 2021, a first rounder in 2022, a first rounder in 2023, Marcus Mariota to the Texans, and Derek Carr to the Indianapolis Colts. The Texans send Deshaun Watson to the Raiders, and the Colts send the 84th overall pick in 2021 to the Raiders and a 2022 fourth round pick to the Texans. So a little three-team trade action there on Barnwell's mock trade situation with Marcus ending up at the quarterback position in Houston.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, let this happen. How fun would that be? Marcus.
And Derek Carr to the Colts.
Yeah.
Right.
Please let all this happen.
Derek Carr.
Ryan Borth feel really good about it, apparently.
You're down on Derek. I think Derek Carr is still pretty good, man.
He is, but it wouldn't be like Matthew Stafford going there.
I agree. And Marcus, hey.
The Mariota Revenge Tour, baby, in the division.
I sat there in that stadium and I watched, what did he go, 22 for 23 that night on Monday Night Football? Right?
Yeah.
Looked pretty good.
The Damn. Luke Stocker game?
That was the Luke Stocker game, that's right. Man, what would Texans fans think about that? Whew. See, Tua's interesting because, yeah, I know people are like, well, he didn't look great, but I think Tua could be really good. He's got to be healthy. He's got to grow. His arm talent is spectacular. His athleticism.
Yeah.
that could be one of those. And again, you've got a potential franchise quarterback long term, and you got someone on a rookie deal, and you can do a lot of other things. It's a gamble, but if you get a ton back for that, if I'm the Texans, I'm at least intrigued by that. And even as a Texans fan, I would feel like, okay, there's some hope here. You bring in Mariota, sad trombone. Wah, wah.
When we come back, we don't see this happen a whole lot in the NFL in terms of high-profile players forcing their way out. See it a whole lot in the NBA. Is this good for sports? Do players have too much power in the world of sports? We'll discuss that when we come back. Also, get to your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What we see from Deshaun doing this is that player empowerment mindset that comes in, and now it's got to make you nervous. Like, as a Raiders fan, if the Raiders hit a home run on the first pick in the draft somehow, and they get the quarterback of their future, you still better be puckered up because you don't get the rest of it right. I mean, this sets that precedent. So you're right, it only affects a few players, but those few players have so much power to the hope that organizations and fans feel around their future that's why I think it's so scary for so many teams.
That was Jason Fitz talking about the situation going on with Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson appears to be forcing his way out of Houston, and now the question is, where is he going to end up? Certainly going to be interesting to monitor that if you're a Titans fan this offseason with the Texans. And Joe, that has us asking the question, and you heard Fitz talk about it a little bit right there. Superstars in sports, they've got more power today than they've ever had, and we've seen this a ton in the NBA especially, where they pretty much control where they're playing, who their teammates are, I mean, everything. We just saw James Harden say, you know what, Houston, thanks, but no thanks. I'm moving on to Brooklyn, and that's where he ended up. It was in Brooklyn. We see that a lot in that league. We don't see it a ton in the NFL just based on the way the league is structured, the salary cap, and just how many different players you've got to deal with in the NFL. But now, maybe a changing of the guard, Deshaun Watson, maybe leading the way in that area, forcing his way out, getting himself potentially into a better situation. Do you like that in sports, Joe, about the superstars being able to, on some terms, dictate where they are, dictate their situation, maybe even dictate who their teammates are? Is that a good thing?
Always go with the millionaire over the billionaire. Always go with labor over management. Sorry, Porth. As you sit there in your ivory tower, we're in here toiling for you. Yeah, absolutely. I'm all in. And I hate how fans, I understand, like, if you're a Texas fan, like, don't leave me, Deshaun. Like, that stinks.
Yeah.
Or if you're a Houston, probably a lot of the same people. James, don't leave us.
It's a tough blow for Houston right now, man.
Yeah, yeah. Although, frankly, as someone who hates watching James Harden play, be happy. Now you have a team that will actually move the ball. You have to watch one guy dribble for 23 seconds. But I love it. I love it. Do it. Take control of your situation. And if fans don't like it, then make it known to the idiot billionaire in this situation who screwed it up. Because this is what happened. Whatever happened with, you know, the communication to Watson on the GM, I mean, clearly it ticked him off. And let's not even, you know, we haven't got into the complete incompetence of training DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
I mean, we saw Le'Veon Bell was a guy who kind of forced his way out of Pittsburgh. Didn't work out for him, but that was like you're talking about, like we see in the NBA. I'm all for it, and I always get bothered by fans who they seem to always take the side of ownership when there's contract disputes. Go with the millionaire over the billionaire.
Well, this goes back to one of the things in sports that drives me nuts, and that is this concept of loyalty. Like, the minute you're not playing well, the team is going to try to move on from you. They can trade you, unless you've got a no-trade clause. They can trade you anytime they want to trade you.
And you get cut in this league.
Yeah, I mean, it's – so this idea of loyalty, it seems like there's a standard on one side that the player is expected to show it and that the team is not held to that same standard. That's always driven me nuts. I remember, like, when Predators fans were just irate that Ryan Suter left and talked to him about, you know, not being loyal. I was like,
yeah,
he's a free agent. I mean, they trade players all the time in the NHL. They probably trade more players in the NHL than any other league. I mean, there's trades all the time. And you don't talk about loyalty then. I mean, it's always driven me insane how that there is a double standard when it comes to loyalty from a team and loyalty to a player.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, and I don't agree with Jarrell Casey. I think Casey was emotional because it stunned him. But he's another example of a guy who, you know, the guy spilled his guts for. We were talking earlier about the 5-27 Titans. Well, it was like, what, Casey and Delanie Walker?
Pretty much it.
You know, out
face
there.
Of the franchise, Taylor Lewan. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, your face of the franchise. Yeah. Your clown face of the franchise. So then he finally helps his team get to ASE championship, and he's going to work with Jeffrey Simmons, and it's going to be this, you know, this culmination. It's like, sorry, man, you're out of here. And, you know, he said, I think it was Logan Ryan's pocket, that I treated like a piece of trash. Look, I mean, to me, my answer to Casey was like, you know this league. But again, that is the league, and so please don't get mad the other way. When guys have the power to do something, yeah. I mean, why do we get so upset about that? Mr. Management, you have anything to say?
Nothing.
I mean, it's just fascinating. And look, I don't think that this is going to become some, you know, massive trend in the NFL where quarterbacks – are forcing their way out because Deshaun Watson has set this precedent. I think it's just it says more about the Texans and how they've mismanaged this whole thing than it does anything else. If Deshaun Watson isn't just totally furious with ownership right now, he's not even considering this. I mean, you just don't see that happen in the NFL. So I don't think this is going to be like this huge changing of the guard in terms of player power in the NFL. I think it just more highlights the incompetence of the Houston Texans than it does anything else. I still think the NBA by far is the league that the players control it the most. And obviously, I mean, you've got a much different roster size that plays into it as well. But I wouldn't expect the NFL to just all of a sudden become a league where players are like, you know what? I don't want to be the quarterback of the Eagles anymore. I'm forcing my way out because Deshaun Watson did it 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, you've got to be that level of player. You got to be a very, very high level player who would be, you know, coveted like that. I mean, with Le'Veon, you know, and the thing is, like, the tag, and that's what Le'Veon was trying to get out of. He was getting tagged, and he thought he was getting kind of hosed by the running back, don't pay the running back situation, and thought, okay, I deserve better than this, and he forced it. And again, it didn't work out great for him, but he did get it done. And, you know, this is going to happen, and I agree with you. There's not going to be a lot of situations like this, and the biggest thing is that this organization blew it. That's the headline. This organization somehow managed to get the generational quarterback, and they've squandered it. It's on the billionaire, Cal McNair. It's your fault, buddy.
And Bill O'Brien continues to be the gift that keeps on giving for Titans fans and Colts fans and all the people in the AFC South.
I do wonder, though. I hear your point, Robbie, about how this is more about the Texans than it is about a star player just wanting to move teams. But with the mentality of college football players now having the transfer portal where they can just change, you know, their college team at any point they really want to, and you now have this situation with Deshaun Watson. Joe, you referenced Le'Veon Bell. We've seen it with Dolphins players in the last few years. We've seen it with Jags players in the last few years where they've just become so, I don't know if toxic is the right word, but they've essentially pushed their way out because of a situation that they weren't fans of. I do wonder if long-term this does become more of a regular thing, not to the extent of the NBA, but, I mean, people aren't as patient anymore just as a society, and if they don't like their playing time or what's happening in an organization, just say, you know, screw it, I want to go to somewhere else.
Yeah, well, and again, they get discarded all day long, they get discarded. So why can't they try to take control of the situation? I do agree when you go younger. Like, I've always found it ridiculous that a coach can just, oh, I got a higher paying job. See, bye, team meeting. Okay, see you guys. But then we're trying to restrict their movement. I do also agree with coaches who say, you know, if you're going to leave because first year you don't get the PT you want, and at some point, you got to hang in somewhere and and deal with adversity and grow and like figure it out. And kind of like NFL's got to sometimes leak. Let's see if Tua's good. So, I mean, I agree. Like, society-wise, it is. I mean, even in high school, yeah. how much do we see kids now? Oh, I'm just going to go to this high school. And I mean, that's not a great trend. But that's a different discussion. I think that more with younger people. When you get to the professional level, again, you know, in this league, it's like that and you're out. So I'm for these guys taking control of their situation whenever they can.
Let's quickly go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill texts in and says, I agree fans aren't fair to players about loyalty, but from a fan's perspective, they spend their hard-earned money to go to games and support their team. So they have a connection to the team and the players, so they get upset when star players don't want to be there anymore and show that frustration by questioning the player, because most fans don't up and pick a new team because a star player leaves.
Yeah.
I mean, there is an emotional investment for sure.
There is. And so I encourage Texans fans to direct all of your anger at Cal McNair. And that's the thing. I mean, I agree. I mean, fans.
Which I think they largely are, by the way.
It was, yeah. Or Jack Easterby, whatever. Yeah. I mean, look, it was better being a fan 20 years ago or whenever when, like, the same players are on the team for a long time. I mean, remember, like, free agency, and I'm honestly not old enough to remember this when it really happened, but, like, in baseball, Curt Flood, I mean, that was like, Are you kidding me? No, these players can't go somewhere where they want. You know, think about that. But it is how it should be, and I just would love to see more fans take the side of the player than the owner.
When we come back, we'll dive into the Tennessee Volunteers, the hiring of Josh Heupel. Our man Ryan McGee from ESPN will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the situation in Knoxville. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.